Hello, brothers and sisters. Welcome again to Food for the Journey. And I just want to say right now, I am so glad to be back among you. But let's take a look, first of all, at the readings from Thursday of the 24th week in Ordinary Time. It's from 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 12 to 16. Beloved, let no one have contempt for your youth. Amen. But set an example for those who believe in speech, conduct, love, faith, purity. Until I arrive, attend to the reading, the exhortation, and the teaching. Do not neglect the gift you have, which was conferred on you through the prophetic word with the imposition of hands by the presbyterate. Be diligent in these matters, be absorbed in them, so that your progress may be evident to everyone. Attend to yourself and to your teaching. Persevere in both tasks, for by so doing you will save both yourself and those who listen to you. You know, oftentimes when we're taking on something new, we look for the, you know, at least my generation would say, we look for the bells and whistles, and we look for somebody to compliment us, and here I am doing what I think I'm supposed to be doing. I'm doing it decently. I can get better at it, but I'm doing it well. But nobody ever tells me anything. Nobody ever says anything to me. Let no one have contempt for your youth. Set an example for those who believe in speech, in conduct, in love, faith, and purity. Until I arrive, attend to the reading, the exhortation, and teaching. Do not neglect the gift you have. Each of us has a gift. Each of us has a way. It may be speaking to individuals. It may be speaking to crowds of people. It may be as an intercessor. It may be as someone who walks next to someone who's going through a great difficulty and stands by them and helps them. Whatever it is that God asks you to do, and it does it through circumstances, it's offered to you, and you can turn it down. Don't have any contempt for your youth. Age is not what matters. What matters is that you're pliable, that God can work with you, that God can show you what's most important. And by sitting with him and talking with him, you can find that. You will learn that. Do not neglect the gift you have, because all of us have gifts of some kind, different kinds of gifts. Some people, you know, fix the microphones all through an evening event. It's a work. How they do it matters. It really matters on how people will hear. Someone cancels out at the last minute to speak, and people are looking at you and saying, you're on. And you're saying, oh dear, I can't do that. Just ask God. How does God want me to love in this situation? How does he want me to carry myself? How much does he want me, and how much he does want me in my speech, in my conduct, in my love, my faith, and my purity? Am I faithful to those things? That advances the kingdom, even if you don't say a word. That's what advances the kingdom of God. And I really want to urge you, in your own daily lives, look at the things that people might have said to you, like, this is a gift you have, or this is a talent you have. How can I use that to foster the Lord? It doesn't mean that you have to do all biblical programs. It just means that people know that Jesus, the very Son of the Father, is part of your life. And you encourage people to open their own hearts to faith and to grow deeper and closer to the Lord. There's all kinds of ways you can do that very simply, just by a word of encouragement many times. Don't ever not do that. Perhaps you go to visit a person who is ill, and they feel like, oh, either I'm going to die or get me better. What you want to do is say, let's pray that you may do God's will right now in the middle of your life. Yes, pray for their healing. But the first thing, that you may have the courage to do God's will right now in your life, living the circumstances you're in, but doing it with kindness, with cheerfulness as much as you can, being a good person. You can encourage people to that. So it can be in very small things. It could be in very major ways. Attend to yourself in your teaching. Persevere in both tasks. So you notice that. Attend to yourself and to your teaching. for by doing so, you will save both yourself and those who listen to you. I'll tell you something. I've come to a place in my life some years ago of really asking the Lord every day, what do you want me to say? What do you want me to do? And I just say, alert me, help me. And I've been amazed that somebody will say something to me like, I need you to do this. Or somebody will say, do you have anything you want to say here? In so many ways, little ways as well as big ways, I've been asked to do something. And because I was docile, that is pliable, teachable, I was ready for what it was that God asked. Even though I was shaking in my boots, at least I was willing to do what God seemed to want me to do. That can happen. Be absorbed in your matters so that your progress may be evident to everyone. Attend to yourself. That is, take care of yourself and to your teaching. Persevere in both tasks. We teach in all kinds of ways. We teach by our actions. We teach by our words, yes. But we teach often by the way we act. I remember once meeting a man that I don't know how to describe it. I was at this event and he was speaking and he just seemed so, I don't want to say happy in the sense of, you know, oh, everything's perfect, but just such a peace and such a joy in him. And I said to him afterwards, how do you do that? Like, how do you cultivate that? And he said, I just turned to God and said, what do you want now? Simple. So simple. Sometimes God has a lot to say, but sometimes it is simply just do what you know you should do right now. Because we don't know how our example affects the lives of other people. We don't. But I know in my own life, the people who have helped me, the people who have stood by me and been with me, oh my, what a source of encouragement and hope and help and love they really have been. And it has inspired me to go and do likewise. Just ponder that a little bit. And if no one has ever done that for you, still God would want to use you. Lord, teach me how to do this. I don't know how to do this. And he'll put you in a situation, perhaps, that will help teach you how. The gospel today, according to Luke chapter 7, 36 to 50. A certain Pharisee invited Jesus to dine with him, and he entered the Pharisee's house and he reclined at table. Now there was a sinful woman in the city who learned that he was at table in the house of the Pharisee. Bringing an alabaster jar of ointment, she stood behind him at his feet weeping and began to bathe his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair. When the Pharisee, who had invited him, saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he'd know who and what sort of woman this is who's touching him, that she is a sinner. Jesus said to him in reply, Simon, I have something to say to you. Tell me, teacher. Two people were in debt to a certain creditor. One owed 500 days' wages, and the other owed 50. Since they were unable to repay the debt, he forgave it. For both. Which of them will love him more? Simon said in reply, the one, I suppose, whose larger debt was forgiven. And he said to him, you have judged rightly. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? When I entered your house, you did not give me water for my feet, but she bathed me with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but she has not ceased kissing my feet since the time I entered. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she anointed my feet with ointment. So I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven. Hence, she has shown great love. But the one to whom little is forgiven loves little. He said to her, your sins are forgiven. The others at table said to themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? But he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Brothers and sisters, think about that. Just think about what a marvelous, incredible work God did. But you see, we've already prejudged so many situations. We don't think they're going to change. We don't want to be with the in-group. We want to know what people think. Oh, I would never do that. And you tell people, I would never do that. But all the while, you're enjoying being part of the circle, being part of the crowd. Brothers and sisters, Jesus has told us, be careful how you judge. Be very careful. We do not know many times the circumstances surrounding the other person who may be doing something that we don't understand or something we find difficult. But the Lord is saying, don't do that. Come to me. Come to me. Ask me. I very often, brothers and sisters, I very often say to the Lord, tell me what you want me to say. And sometimes he does it. Sometimes he doesn't. Sometimes it's quiet, so then I know that I should just do what I think is best. But sometimes he has something he wants me to say. And I have the courage to do it because he's given it to me. So don't be turning to the Lord just because you want to hear God speak to you. It's a thought. It's just simply a thought comes into your head that you never had before. But it is that Jesus loves, that he is very near, that he is listening to us, that he wants us not to judge, not to judge. You have judged rightly. And he turned to the woman and he said to Simon, do you see this woman? When I entered your house, you did not give me water for my feet, but has bathed them with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss. She has not ceased kissing my feet since the time I entered. You see, brothers and sisters, we don't know all the circumstances. We make a judgment. We don't know what's gone on between perhaps another person and someone else. We don't know, but we've judged. We've come to a conclusion. And look what Jesus is saying here. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she anointed my feet with ointment. So I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven. Yes, she has shown great love. But the one to whom little is forgiven loves little. He said to her, your sins are forgiven. Can you imagine that? He knows. And he says, your sins are forgiven you. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. There was in Magnificat magazine a priest by the name of Father Donald Haggerty, who in this month's issue wrote a meditation on this gospel passage. And I don't have time to read all of it, but I urge you to read it. But the last paragraph is really quite important. I want to share that with you. Desires for an absolute purity and generosity awaken sometimes at the edge of what could have been a ruined life, precisely where we would not expect this form of desire. Recognition that lost periods of a life can never be returned can provoke an intense desire to give completely to God what is yet remaining in life. The soul scarred by former sin is sometimes, after grace, the soul that will give without reserve. It is not at all an exhortation or an exaggeration to affirm that great sinners often do become great saints. You can be part of that process. You can judge or follow what Father Donald. Think about this, brothers and sisters. Think about it. Let's see what God wants us to do. Hello, brothers and sisters. This is Sister Ann Shields, and I want to encourage you, if you would like a free copy of my booklet, Faith More Precious Than Gold, which we need right now, you can receive that by calling our 800 number, 1-800-282-4789, or you can simply go to renewalministries.net/FFJ. May God bless you.